Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Welcome to your Monday morning. Thank you for tuning into the program. I'm awfully glad to be assisting you in getting your day started. Whatever you've got planned today, maybe it's your day off. How nice is that? I know barbers never work on Mondays for some reason. I don't know what the deal is with that. I don't know. If you're a barber, call me and tell me why Monday is the day off. Seems like a good plan. Be a good plan to have Monday off in radio, doesn't it? Rebecca is nodding her head yes, as we all are. But we are here, and we've got a great show lined up. Patrick Albanese, my friend and colleague from prestigious West Des Moines in the great state of Iowa, will be with me in just a minute. And then we're going to talk to Gabe Lyons as well in the first hour. So we've got a great first hour. Are you a person that likes to maybe grab breakfast on the fly and maybe go through a drive-thru on the way to work? Well, here's what a woman did over the weekend in Riverhead, New York. She pulled up to a window Friday morning and ordered a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. She thought she was driving up to a fast food joint. The place was actually the joint. She drove up to the security booth at Riverhead Correctional Facility to place her order. On closer inspection, the deputies said her eyes were dilated and glassy, and she had white powder on her nose. She failed a sobriety test and was arrested. So when you're ordering food from a drive-up, be careful where you're pulling in, because you never know, do you? All right. Patrick is already on our Skype line, so we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to find out what happened over the weekend, and we're going to have a little bit of lightness to get the Monday started. Be back in a minute.
Do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could
while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
And that music belongs to Patrick Albanese, my friend and colleague from prestigious West Des Moines. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. Yes. Spring break is ending.
Uh-oh.
The kids go back to school today. You might find it a little extra buoyancy in my voice today. Much as I love my kids, like, hey, I'm so sad. I was realizing, by the way, you know, because Easter is coming up, that this is probably the point in Jesus' ministry that the apostles are sitting around going, things are going really well. You know, crowds are growing. T-shirt sales are up. I mean, this is looking pretty good. They have no idea what's coming.
No clue. All right.
Nope.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about consumers beware when it comes to news consumption. We're back to another week. It's a fresh Monday. There's a new 24-hour news cycle going. However, yep. Despite all that, the left or mainstream media or the right, it doesn't matter who it is, they have a narrative they want to push. And yeah. They want you to believe a certain thing. And I found it interesting. We had a brief conversation over the weekend about the way in which Hillary's incident was treated in India. And then you compare that to President Ford and the way he was treated by the media. So let's chat about that, because I think that's worthwhile.
It's interesting that Hillary, I'm sure most people, if you didn't get the moving GIF, or is it a GIF? Whatever.
Whatever.
It's the gift that keeps on gifting. But
I laughed at that.
I'm sorry you laughed at it, too. You almost validated it. Which
I
means
almost did. I know. It's
like,
early.
Yeah, I understand.
I hate when you catch me off guard.
Yes. I apologize for not pre-screening that pun.
Uh-huh.
But she took a couple of slips on some stairs again. And then she took a spill in the tub, and she broke her wrist or sprained it. I think it was broken. And they of course, they had to kind of explain what had happened. They probably would have kept it completely secret. But, you know, she walks out in some sort of muumuu that has one sleeve. that completely covers her hand, and people are thinking, that's kind of odd. What's going on there? Well, that covers the cast. So all that to say, not to pick on Hillary, but she's taken quite a few tumbles. We've seen numerous of these videos of her going up a flight of stairs, stumbling, coming down a flight of stairs, stumbling. We hear about stumbling in the tub. I don't know if you remember that the whole incident that happened with her a couple of years ago where she was wearing those very thick glasses to deal with, I forget what they gave it a clever name, but it was the result of a spill, and then she hit her head, and then she had some sort of brain fuzziness.
Mm-hmm.
She falls a lot. She falls a lot, and of course the ever popular, you know, collapsing and being tossed into the back of the van like a sack of potatoes. Now, we don't really say much about that, but if you recall, Gerald Ford was portrayed as the clumsiest president, clumsy as could be. Here's a question for you and for the listener out there. And I believe, what do you win? Home version of the
home version of the Early Morning Late Show, yes.
Yeah. How many times did Gerald Ford actually slip and fall? And I know you know the answer to this because we've already looked into it.
Mm-hmm.
And because I realize that people are chomping at the bit right now, reaching for their phones, and they might be driving, and we don't want them doing that. We're going to give them the answer one time.
And it was coming down the steps of Air Force One on a rainy day.
On a rainy day. Let's not forget that he was quite an athletic man that had a football injury, a knee injury. So mm-hmm. he had kind of a bum knee.
Yeah, Michigan State standout football player.
Yep. And he fell one time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, what's ironic is I found an old article written by Bob Schieffer, the reporter who reported that, realized later that he says, well, did he fall any other times? I think I heard stories of him falling. I'm not sure. But we have this one on videotape. And he realized he was kind of the guy that set that tone. And then, of course, Chevy Chase, who would not have a career if it wasn't for that tumble, turned it into that theme on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was looking for video of Gerald Ford falling. I found this compilation. It was supposedly a compilation of all the Gerald Ford falls, and it was all Chevy Chase, and then one Gerald Ford fall, and then a couple of cartoons thrown in. There's only one of Gerald Ford, and there's 15 of Chevy Chase, and then of course Chevy Chase, as we know, ended up with severe back pain from taking all of these pratfalls. Some of them, if you look at this video, you go, oh my gosh, he fell off of a Christmas tree. He fell down a ladder. I mean, he took some pretty big spills, got addicted to painkillers, and has suffered in pain pretty much the rest of his life. But it set the tone, just like Sarah Palin never said, I can see Alaska from my house. The media, not just the news, of course, the entertainment, they dictate what they want you to believe, and they're very successful at it. So you have to be careful when you start to think a certain way about somebody, you know, whether Hillary was always portrayed as she's the smartest woman in the world. And then, you know, you see what she went through with the email server. And I just didn't know how to use more than one device. It's like, well, you had 14 Blackberries. You smashed them with hammers. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. So they wanted us to think she's the smartest woman in the world. I have no idea how smart she is. Not a clue.
Yeah.
I don't know how smart Obama is, but they told us he's the smartest guy in the world. Trump's a buffoon. George Bush is dumb. Ronald Reagan was dumb. He was a warmonger. It's the same old script. Be careful because you're getting manipulated.
Well said, Patrick. I think that is true, that we will respond to what we hear and then we adopt it as our attitude towards things. And that will cover just about anything in life. So we do have to be careful. Now, when it comes to the collusion that continues, when I think of should President Trump fire Robert Mueller, they've got on his committee, he has 13 hardened Democrats, no Republicans. And Trey Gowdy recently said to Trump's lawyer, if your client's innocent, act like it.
Yeah, I don't mean to trash Trey Gowdy. He's so impressive when he gives those speeches, but nothing ever seems to come out of them.
Mm-hmm.
The Benghazi hearings, terrific video clips, and I'm sure they really helped him with reelection campaigns, but nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten very good at that, and I never know which way the political winds are going to blow if these people just say, well, what's the politically expedient side to take right now? You know, again, I always try to consider that, you know, people want you to think a certain thing, and we don't know who's manipulating what or who's saying what to make us think a certain thing. But I do believe that Trump is also aware of this. I'm thinking that they want people, because we've been talking about this for over a year, people have been chomping at the bit. They really want Trump to fire Mueller. They really want him to. And there's always these warnings, don't fire Mueller. He's going to do it. It's like, well, he's never done it. He's just let the guy go about his business and do what he's doing. So I go, is he really going to fire him? Do they really need these warnings? Or is he playing the game too? Is he saying, well, go ahead and make people think I'm going to fire him, and then I won't fire him?
Yeah.
And then when it all amounts to a big fat zero, which, you know, I'm assuming the reason why Trump really hasn't fired Mueller is because he is innocent.
Mm-hmm.
If he was guilty, he would have pulled a Hillary Clinton and, you know, FBI files would disappear. I mean, I don't know if you remember that, but the Clinton FBI files disappeared. Things disappeared. Mm-hmm. People disappeared. Stuff went away. So, you know, he's certainly a controversial president, but I'm thinking, well, if he was guilty, he might have fired Mueller at this point in time. Maybe he's setting us up for this big, like, well, look at that. That turned out to be a big zip.
Mm. All right, Patrick, let me take a break. When we come back, more with Patrick Albanese. It is 16 minutes after the hour. Happy Monday. All right. We were not gone long. It's 18 minutes after the hour. I am back having a lively Monday morning conversation with my friend and colleague, Patrick Albanese. Patrick, coming up.
I just wanted to, yeah. And I because I'm going to toot my own horn here.
Okay.
I want you to know that I have made the finalist, the list of border wall designs.
Nice. Way to go.
Yeah, yeah. I proposed a very large aquarium along the complete southern border. I think it would work well. It would be attractive. We could save the reefs. I just decided to throw that out there, and if people could just vote on that.
Do you have a GoFundMe page? Maybe that's what you need.
I should have a GoFundMe page. Everybody else has a GoFundMe page. You know, Andrew McCabe has a GoFundMe page.
He's going to need one.
He's going to need one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about the venom that gets sent around in social media, because I know for a fact that you have had some relationships injured from the political crossfire that's gone on. That used to be social media was something that you would post, you know, videos of your kids or happy birthday to so-and-so. Now it's become a place where people are mean-spirited and angry, and they send out these tweets. And in the next hour, I'm going to talk to Dr. Linda Mintel a little bit about the damage to relationships that this kind of venting brings on. You give someone a little piece of your mind, and it really destroys the rest of the relationship, and how angry and hostile tweets are a fairly powerful predictor of heart disease.
I could easily see that. You know, the fact that you can peruse a timeline and say, well, that's it. I'm angry at what somebody I don't know just said.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, okay, you're allowed to be angry at things that people, you know, you don't know said, because we hear crazy things all the time. But you can't let it infect you. If one of the things I had found, and I started calling it anti-social media, and I kind of changed my tune, especially on Facebook. Twitter's sort of a different animal, but I still try to have a little bit of fun with it, and, you know, put a little bit of a silly quip up.
Mm-hmm.
And try not to get dragged into things. And this was the hardest thing, because these are my friends. I've chosen to be extremely cautious if I see the opening of a long post, and usually a long post is pretty much a giveaway that somebody's about to rant. You know, nobody writes a very, very long post. It's not like they put their Christmas letter up going, hey, dear family. You know, remember we used to do those 20 years ago. We mm-hmm. sent out the Christmas letter, and, you know, the kids are doing great, and my family's better than yours, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. Now,
and always will be.
Yeah, yeah. Now a long post is usually a rant, and you say, okay, be careful. These are shark-infested waters, because this is a friend of yours. You're going to differ on a whole bunch of things. You're going to differ on what is a proper lunch meat you know? So I've learned to ignore them, because the problem is you want to respond. It just seems to be this natural human response going, I think that guy's wrong. And I have to say to myself, whose mind am I changing here? Because this person just wrote something, and not only did it not change my mind, it further entrenched me into what I believe.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that my response will have a similar effect.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly not going to be that bologna with those pimentos in it.
Who came up with that idea?
I don't know. Those are disgusting.
I'm guessing somebody took all the pimentos when they were de-pimentoing some green olives. They said, what do we do with these? We can't just throw them away. So we should put them in the bologna.
Yeah, but in life, as you know, who the world says is important is rarely important. And who the world says isn't important is oftentimes in your life the most important.
Yes. And if you're getting to the point where maybe you're ignoring your immediate family to respond to somebody on Twitter, say, where do I have the most impact in life? In my own family, mm-hmm. with my own children, with my own spouse, with my own, you know, with all the people close to me. We're the ones that share things. And if I'm shunning them to spend time with strangers on a social media platform to argue, you know, I'll see these occasional Twitter fights break out. And I say, you know, it could be very amusing to follow the thread. But if I get worked up, that can't be healthy. I don't want to turn people off from social media. It can certainly be fun. It can be amusing. And it can be a great way to keep up with people. And I have turned to Twitter as what are the important trending stories now because of the hashtag theme to it. And you can kind of see what the trending stories are. So you can know if something's picking up steam, and it's a nice way to stay current. But it's very dangerous to start following the rabbit down the hole, and you go, oh, boy, here I go. I'm feeling anxiety.
Yeah.
That can't be good.
No, it's never good. Yeah. All right, let me ask you this, and this is a kind of gets to be a spiritual issue for me, but I was reading that Kathy Griffin, this comedian that I don't have a whole lot of interest or respect for, she sold mm-hmm. out Carnegie Hall in a day. So, you know, her career is getting a little bit of a comeback feel to it. And she said in a tweet, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm so grateful. And I think I know what you're grateful for, but is there anyone you're grateful to?
No, I think her God is somebody we don't know, but we've seen. Yeah. <it's...
laughs> But doesn't that apply across the board for us Christians to say, we oftentimes talk about what we're grateful for, but are we as willing to talk about who we are grateful to? That makes the conversation mm-hmm. a little trickier, doesn't it?
No. As you know, I always like to say it is amazing that when things go wrong, God gets the blame. But when things go right, we get the credit.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunately, I'm as guilty as the next person. You know, I think I've told you I used to have that almost – it was definitely a New Age belief that, you know, God never gives you anything that you can't handle. Ooh. And it wasn't till just a couple of years ago, after many years of holding that belief, that if something went wrong, that God had given it to me. But that's okay. He had also equipped me with the tools to handle it. And then I noticed this pattern that most of the messes that I had in my life were really self-created, and they weren't handed to me by God at all.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow or another, I found that it was me. I was behind it. And then I realized the truth of the matter is there is no mess that I can create that God can't provide me some sort of exit ramp to – I'm not saying get out of.
Right.
But to – like, here's your chance
right.
to get away from this. So
right.
your eventual salvation is coming to me. You may have to pay the price for some of the things you've done.
Right. Now, Patrick, when you talk about – you know, the things that you created, I almost think, too, that's a false alarm. And I don't know if God will necessarily show up for false alarms. I think he shows up for the real ones. But there's, you know, a lot of the self-imposed mistakes and stupidity that we do is we create false alarms in our life.
Yeah, we certainly do. You know, back in my New Age days, they used to call it stepping out on God. It was almost like saying, well, here, God, here's your opportunity to prove you exist. I'm going to go lease a $130,000 Mercedes, or I'm going to get that BMW 7 Series mm-hmm. that I've been really, really wanting. Now, I know I only make $22,500 a year, and the car payments being at the $2,750 a month pretty much eat that up. But I'm trusting God that you will deliver. Now, where you and I come from, that's called foolish. But it's you go, well, I don't know if God will bail you out of that one. You know, God, in fact, God might say, well, I think the best way to solve this problem is bankruptcy for you so that you learn your lesson and you don't do things like that again. But I do believe that God can save us from, you know, the messes that we create. We just may not be really happy with the way that it pans out.
Patrick, thanks so much for being on the show. Always look forward to our conversations Monday. I'll talk to you later today. Have a great
Yes, month. By the way, today is Take Yourself to Work Day. Don't forget,
let's
folks.
Let's go. Let's get going here. 27 minutes after the hour, we'll take a very short break and be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 31 minutes after the hour. Coming up just after news in about 8 minutes is Gabe Lyons. We're going to talk about the Q Conference, which is coming up in April, and the questions that the world faces today and how the church is going to address them. Will be very interesting talking to Gabe. Stay tuned. Be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 25 minutes until the top of the hour. So glad you're with me this morning. Bill Arnold here with Rebecca Maxwell on the board. Paul Perreault in the newsroom. We are so glad you've joined us. Sam Crabtree is a pastor and an author, and he talks about affirming others in a God-centered way. Romans 12:10 says we should honor one another above ourselves, and he offers this analogy of what it looks like in our day-to-day lives.
Here's the way I think about outdoing one another and showing honor. I think of it as an Olympic event in the house or in the office or in the church. In the real Olympics, the way you win a gold medal in the sprints or in swimming or whatever is you have to outdo everybody else and they lose. But in outdoing everyone else in showing honor, if I do the best job around of showing honor, everybody else wins because they get more honor than I do because I'm outdoing them in showing honor. So I try to go for the gold in showing honor. It's a biblical exhortation right there in the text. And therefore, I think we have biblical warrant in trying to get aggressive and polished and proactive in showing honor to other people.
If you want to hear that full interview from Sam Crabtree, go to myfaithradio.com, type in Sam Crabtree or affirm others in a God-centered way. Next up, Gabe Lyons will be with us. Back in just a minute.
People are turned off by the church, and that will continue to be the case if we're all form and no power. This is Jim Garlow. I'm a pastor, and I can clearly see that. So here's my point. If we merely have a form of religion without the power of God, the church will exist. But for what? Look at most church calendars and you'll see announcements of upcoming events. A music group putting on a concert, rummage sales, quilting parties, leadership seminars, announcements you can read in any publication that calendars events. How are we different? What happened to the church? The book of Acts records the apostles healing the sick, casting out demons, and leading people to Christ. That's what I signed up for as a pastor. It's the kind of team I want to be on. It's the kind of church I would want to lead. How about it? People are turned off by the church, and that will continue to be the case if we're all form and no power. Go to jimgarlow.com. There's much more.
Welcome back to the show. We're so glad you're with us this morning. Gabe Lyons is the founder of Q Ideas. You hear him on Faith Radio all the time, and we're coming up on another Q Commons conference coming up in Nashville, April 11 through the 13th. So that's just around the corner. He's joined us this morning. Good morning, Gabe.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Yeah, when I went on the website and looked at the Q Commons conference, my gums started bleeding because of all the work that you must be doing to get ready for this.
Well, we have an amazing team, but it is quite the undertaking. The good news is we only do it once a year,
this
event.
I get it.
You know.
But I look at the list of speakers and I think of the logistics and all the arrangements and the way you're putting this together. It's just a ton of work. So let me just start by saying way to go.
Well, thank you. It's fun for us, man. I love it. We feel like we're kind of like a museum curator, except we're doing it with topics and talks and themes and trying to understand where our culture's at, where the church is at, and what is it that this year we need to be talking about, and we're trying to serve that up.
And despite all that, you're still getting a solid 8 hours of sleep a month. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I love
that's
it.
Right, that's
all
right.
Let's talk about what's going on in our world. And what are some of the, what's the vision for Q this year? Do we have a particular theme or how is it working?
Yeah. So every year we call it Q2018 this year, obviously, but because we're thinking about the year ahead and we're saying, what are the difficult conversations that leaders who are either pastors and church leaders or business leaders or professionals in any industry, but they're really kind of forward facing into the culture. What is it that they need to be smart about? What do they need to be understanding? And so the topics we start to select are based around that. And then, you know, our philosophy, we pick a topic and then we go try to find the absolute best presenter.
I know you do.
To talk about it. So, you know, there's a few great ones. If we have time, I'll share a few of them that are some of my favorites coming up.
Yeah, but I want to get back to maybe what some of the major questions people are asking. What are we asking?
Well, two big cultural things happening right now that must be addressed is the role of women in our society and how is it that men can be a part of empowering and also just supporting and giving agency to women who have gifts and who can lead and who have some of the best ideas in the room, but sometimes haven't had the same kind of opportunity and access. And so we want to be honest about that and specifically talk about how does the church be a part of the solution in this? So that's a big question. And how do we deal with sexual exploitation? So we're going to be talking about that right off the bat. But then another big area is just how do we get along with people who have a completely different point of view than ours? Because in our culture today, you know, we demonize, we put people down. How do we get along with people who have different points of view than us? And so we have several talks really addressing how we see beyond being right to understanding what does it look like to be in right relationship with people, even when we think they're wrong. And is it okay for us to sometimes in humility, understand that we might be wrong and what does God value more? And so there's a few different talks that will deal with that, which I think is a critical conversation for the church, but also in our society right now, so that we can find ways to work together, to come together, not to divide. I think that's what we want to do in our heart. We want to come together and work together, but everything screaming at us from media and social media, can sometimes make us feel like that's not what people want.
Just civil discourse today, Gabe would say, we have a new platform on which we can disagree, and it's not pretty, and it's what we use, and it's a big sledgehammer, and we all come out swinging, don't we?
Yeah, just a lot of opinions, and everybody has access to it. There's some great things about that, but it certainly doesn't create the environment of constructive conversation or thoughtful dialogue. And the mediums for this kind of communication really prohibit some of that. And so I think places like Q are unique now today, and even Q Commons, where we're trying to create space. And at Q, people sit around round tables together, eight people at each table. And after hearing talks, we give them time to talk about and discuss and talk about what they agreed with, disagreed with, learn and hear different opinions. One of our talks in the opening session is going to be called The Art of Listening, because this is one of the lost arts of our moment, is listening to someone else versus just shouting our opinion. So we're going to dig into all that, but also practice it while we're together.
I think of the What Would Jesus Do bracelets. I also want to say, what would Satan want? And Satan would want us to not get along, to only argue and to disagree and to end up leaving the table not liking each other.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, if he can keep us confused, divided, and actually looking at people who as Christians don't share our beliefs and seeing them as the enemy, then he's winning.
And
that's the exact opposite is how we at Q are trying to help people understand what our posture ought to be.
Okay, Gabe, if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind returning to question one, because that was one we went over kind of quickly, and I want to kind of go back to that if we can and talk about the way we need to empower women in the church. So maybe you can elaborate on that a little bit more.
Yeah, we're going to have a couple talks, and that's how we do this at Q, 9-minute talks. Some are 18 minutes, but we're trying to address a few different specifics around this. One is just the idea of gender equality in the church. What does that look like? And what does it look like in denominations where there's specific doctrinal beliefs where they don't allow for a woman pastor in a church. But what does it look like to quality, to still allow women's voices to be heard, to be shaping a direction, to be a part of the conversations? But in addition to that, we're talking about the cultural moment we're in and sexual exploitation and how much what really the supply chain is for sexual exploitation. It's something a lot of people don't think about, but there's a connectivity between, you know, pornography and sex trafficking, a connectivity between the objectification of women in comedy and in our just random comments and harassment. And so we want to draw the connections. And then we want to say to men, look, for a long time, women have felt like they were the ones responsible for the problems that are happening around them by being accused of dressing inappropriately or just the way in which they've handled themselves. And you might have an opinion like that. But today, what we want to talk about is what is our opportunity as men to step up and be real men and appreciate the way in which God's given us this amazing gift of a different gender who has incredible gifts that should be contributing in leadership, in conversation, in having influence. And how do we do that? And so there'll be a panel conversation around that. There'll be a conversation specifically, what do you, asking three different women who've had three different kind of Me Too experiences, what do you wish men knew that you just never have had the opportunity to say, but we want to give you the opportunity to say it. And so, you know, the thing about Q, as you know, is you'll probably get offended at some point. I mean, there's 35 talks. There's a lot of different opinions. Our goal's not to offend you, but we're going to allow people to share what they're thinking and what they're seeing. And it makes you a little uncomfortable. I'm sure I'll be uncomfortable. And if I weren't, then, you know, I'm not sure I'd want to go to an event where I just felt comfortable the whole time. I want to be challenged and stretched, and that's what's going
to
happen.
Well, Gabe, let me go to break, and when I come back, I'd like to ask you a question that might be uncomfortable. I'm speaking to Gabe Lyons. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I have on our studio line Gabe Lyons. He is the founder of Q Ideas, and we're talking about this year's Q Commons Conference coming up in Nashville, April 11th through the 13th. And right before we went to break, Gabe, you had made a comment about men stepping up and being real men. Are men the only people we can make that comment about? Can we also say at this conference we will ask women to step up and be real women?
Sure. I mean, I think we're asking every single person to be truly who God's designed them to be flourishing, to live abundant lives, to live lives of character and integrity and to lead. And so absolutely. I do think, though, in our particular cultural moment, 2018, and remember with Q, that's part of our emphasis is what are the conversations you're having this year? Well, a lot of the conversations these Christian leaders are needing to have is how do we be a part of the solution here to what women seem to be feeling, but they're now just starting to be able to voice some of that. And and so this particular year, I think we will hear a little more emphasis on what does it mean for men to help give agency to women, to look at women as equals in a lot of their different giftings, recognizing gender differences, recognizing God's designed us differently and uniquely, and that should be celebrated. We're not the same. But in being different from one another, how do we celebrate those differences and appreciate those? And so I think while we'll ask women, we do a whole morning called Q Women, in fact, where it's all women only attended for 3 hours. We have eight different talks. Those women are hearing and discussing with one another. So there's a lot of emphasis there. I think this year there'll probably be a little more of a theme of helping men just consider what our opportunity is to lead in a different way maybe than in perhaps we have in the past.
Now you have so many speakers lined up and so many talks planned. Maybe we can do a little movie trailer right now for what's ahead. Maybe you can give us a little sample.
Yeah. So Tony Evans, for example, he's amazing on talking about the kingdom, and it's his first time at Q, but he's going to be sharing about just what are the virtues of the kingdom? How do those show up in our culture today? We've got David Nasser, who's a great author who really grew up in Iran and then became a refugee to the U.S. and as a Muslim became converted to Christianity. And he's going to tell his testimony of how the hospitality of a church, a Baptist church in the South, cared for this Muslim family and ultimately the entire family converted and his whole life, obviously. changed as a result. Amazing. We've got Ford Fry. This is one of the top chefs in the country right now. He's based out of Atlanta, but is creating just amazing restaurants, very celebrated. But as a Christian, understands that part of his goal is creating settings for hospitality, for people to sit around a table and not only eat food, but have amazing conversations. We've got Scott Hamilton, the famous Olympic champion, cancer survivor, talking about the future of cancer innovation. He's helped invest millions and raise millions and millions of dollars specifically to help beat cancer. And he's going to update us on how that fight's going, because we actually don't hear about it a lot. And there's a lot of reasons for that. So we're going to kind of get underneath where's this cancer research movement going? And that's going to be amazing. We've got a talk by a guy named Duke Kwan, a pastor out of Northern Virginia area, on reparations in the church. So this is specifically about race. What does it look like for churches to reconcile with one another, for us to see racial reconciliation by looking at our past and understanding our past, confessing the sins of the past, and then how do we move forward together and strengthen one another? We've got so many more. We have about 35 talks. You know, one of them is the leader of the College Board. A lot of people haven't heard of the College Board, but David Coleman leads this group, and it essentially oversees university and college system in America. And while he's not a professing Christian, he's an expert on pluralism. And how do Christian educators and people within the university system who have different beliefs, how do we have a pluralism? Meaning, how do we get along despite having totally different beliefs? And what is the future of that? So this is going to be kind of a groundbreaking talk from the leader of the College Board to Christians about where this future could go. And then finally, I'll just say this. One of the conversations I had this week, I'm still mulling over my head with a guy named Adam Bly. He's an expert of religious demonology and exorcism.
Whoa.
So not something you hear about a lot.
No.
But one of the things we want to address at Q is the rise of spiritual warfare that's happening. In the Catholic Church specifically, they've seen a 500% increase in the request for exorcisms and cases of demon possession. Something, again, most people aren't real comfortable talking about. But we're going to talk to the expert who actually coaches priest on what it is to actually work in this demonic space and to do exorcisms. And people are going to learn the seriousness in which they take this on, and talk to a guy who's not afraid of demons because he understands their role. He understands how the enemy uses them. He also understands whose authority actually can repeal them. And so it's going to be a pretty fascinating talk dealing with the things Christians really believe. We don't just talk about the culture without understanding the spiritual dimension to it, and this talk is going to emphasize that.
Wow. Let me comb the hair on my neck down a little bit here. That sounds powerful. Yeah. And I see you're having Krish Kandaya on. We just had him on the program a couple weeks ago. What a thinker he is, and not a bad fake accent either.
Krish is
isn't he amazing?
And he is. Yeah. He's truly one of the bright, like, you know, I don't know if he wouldn't call himself a philosopher, but a theologian, a person who's a deep thinker and a deep well. And it's his first time at Q. And so he'll be there. We have Andy Crouch, who's a frequent presenter at Q, talking about how we think about personhood going forward in a world of artificial intelligence. What is it going to mean to be human? Lisa Bevere talking about really what does it mean to think about the church in this Me Too kind of era. So there's a lot. I'd encourage people to go to qideas.org/2018, so 2018, and they can see all about it.
Is one of my favorite authors going to be there? Her name is Rebecca Lyons?
She is.
Oh, awesome.
That's right.
Awesome.
Rebecca, I have the privilege of being married to. We'll also be a part of it.
Yeah.
We're going to have a conversation on mental health and things like that that she's going to lead.
I hope. Are you going to be in the room when she's talking about that?
I am.
Okay, good.
That's right.
All right, let me ask you this. Let's say you've just given me a list of amazing speakers and things, and I think I can't miss this, but I can't get there either because of various reasons. Is there a way I can be involved? Can I participate online?
No.
Okay.
And
awesome.
I know that's shocking these days, but we actually decided a long time ago not to live stream the event.
We want
people to be in the room.
Sure.
And we tried to make the price so affordable that people can do it. It's in Nashville. So I know that's a long drive for some people in your markets, but for a lot of America, 80% of America can take a road trip and get here in a day or less.
Yeah.
So we're hoping people will come. You know, in addition, there's panels, experiences every night that get you out in the city experiencing everything from the symphony to farm to table dinners. I mean, it's quite a 2.5 days. I hope your schedule allows you to get down here this year.
I'm going to have to double check. I would love to come. But what I can say is we will be praying for you. This is an important conference, and we're so excited about what is going to happen on those couple days, and I look forward to a conversation after to find out all you learned.
Well, that sounds great, and of course, our show that we do together on your station is one where people do get to hear some of these talks after the fact. So
okay,
people
awesome.
Tune into that, and they'll be able to continue to listen to some of the conversations we're trying to lead.
Thanks, Gabe. Blessings on all the preparation and last-minute plans that need to be taken care of. I know you'll do a great job.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a great day. All right, we'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute. Good morning. It's a couple of minutes until the top of the hour. Thank you to Gabe Lyons. Thank you to Patrick Albanese, making hour one. What a great start we've had to this Monday. It's already, if you can believe it, March 19th, and March Madness is underway. And I tell you, that is producing all kinds of fan hostility. And as you know, hostility is a serious health problem. There has been a study on angry tweets as it relates to heart disease. That's a good way to get sick and die. So be careful as you are tweeting out. We're going to talk to Dr. Linda Mintel about that very thing. At about 8 minutes after the hour, we're going to catch up with her. And then later in hour two, we're going to speak to Dr. Richard Land from Southern Evangelical Seminary. We're going to talk about why Americans are so disconnected and why it's so important to be connected in community. That's all ahead in hour two. We'll take a very short break and get it going real soon. Happy Monday. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.